broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This is the broadcast for November the 13th in the year of our Lord 2001. Wow. In the year of our Lord 2021. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution of the United States of America. That is our guide. And as you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to the broadcast. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. Man, have we got a lot of interesting tidbits to bring your way today. And man, we've got, I don't even know how to respond to all this. We've just got so much information, so much division, so much controversy in the country that it's hard to even break it all down for you. Let's start with yesterday's recap, and then we'll dig into it. We had our guest on, Mr. Chris Carlson, with us. And Chris says, without God, we can never win. With God, we can never lose. The battle for freedom is the Lord's. But we need to be engaged in the fight. Amen to that. We had a discussion relating to all things liberty. And we talked about the parable between the wheat and the tares. Can you tell the difference is the question. No, right now, believe it or not, I can't. And I think that's why God wants us to be so careful. Over time, it'll be easier to know the wheat and the tares because they will become more and more separated, more and more polarized as they dig into their, I don't know what you want to call it, their core purpose, right? You'll begin to know who's who. Right now, I just don't know. But we're gaining more and more intel on that. So we talked about this incredible Revolver.news article. And it says, the mystery man, meet Ray Epps, the Fed-protected provocateur who has appeared to have led the very first breaches of the Capitol on January the 6th on the U.S. Capitol. Revolver.news documents that, you know what, Ray is on camera many times shouting for people to breach the Capitol the day before and the day of the event, literally telling people, no, your grievances aren't important. Remember why we're here. That is to breach the Capitol. He's on film doing this over and over. He's also on camera whispering into the ears of the men who committed the very first illegal acts of January 6th. By breaking down the barricades. Okay, Ray Epps is at the center of it all on camera over and over. Now, what's interesting about this is Revolver has confirmed that the FBI scrubbed Ray Epps from their most wanted database. Believe it or not, just one day after Revolver.news put together a damning investigative report on fellow Epps friend, fellow oath keeper, Stuart Rhodes. So why do they have Epps on their public database? As soon as that broke about Stuart Rhodes and the tie between the two, well, all of a sudden, hey, Ray Epps has now taken off the most wanted database. Why? Then we ask about Ray Epps and everything else in Congress, Thomas Massey asking the questions, and they say, well, we don't talk about current investigations. Well, wait a minute. If you let this guy go, he's not on the most wanted database anymore. Is there still an investigation? Oh, we can't even answer if there's an investigation or not. There's also another guy by the name of Maroon PB, and it suggests a far more extensive degree of proactive federal provocateur involvement on January 6th than even the Revolver News magazine had anticipated. So you've got this Maroon BP, you got Ray Epps, and you got Stuart Rhodes. They claim is at the center of all this. I don't know that I agree with all that. I know Ray Epps is on camera doing some pretty gnarly things. So is Maroon BP. There's a lot of allegations about Stuart Rhodes, but there's not on-camera pay dirt like there is on these other guys. And I know Stuart Rhodes, and I'm going to be pretty surprised if he's involved. I don't think so. But the Revolver.news people ask some very, very critical, I believe, important questions that people ought to be willing to answer. Here it is. Does the FBI now, or has it ever, maintained a formal or informal relationship or, quote, point of contact with either Stuart Rhodes or Ray Epps, whether directly or indirectly, including through intermediaries? I know that sounds like a very participled question, but it's really critical. Does the FBI now, or has it ever, maintained a formal or informal relationship or point of contact with either Stuart Rhodes and or Ray Epps, whether directly or indirectly? See how we're kind of covering all the bases there? Including through intermediaries. In other words, hey, that's a pretty broad question, but it's a great FOIA request question. But I think that, you know what? We can have Stuart Rhodes and Ray Epps and Maroon BP answer those questions as well. The government ought to answer them. But the government literally shut down a congressman and said, we won't answer them, which is very interesting. The second question that must be asked is this. Do any other federal counterintelligence agencies, whether in military intelligence or law enforcement, including but not limited to Army counterintelligence, the Department of Homeland Security, DHS, in other words, the Joint Terrorism Task Force, JTTF, or otherwise maintain, or have they ever maintained, a formal or informal relationship with either Stuart Rhodes or Ray Epps, whether directly or indirectly, including through intermediaries? In other words, the same question from the FBI or any of these other federal counterintelligence agencies. And the same question, like I said, could be asked of the government side of the question and could be answered by, say, a Ray Epps or Stuart Rhodes. I'd be interested to know what they have to say about it. Now, Stuart Rhodes, I consider a friend. And I'm going to call him and see if he's interested in coming on the radio and talking to us about this. But I find it very interesting. There's a lot of evidence against Ray, but I don't see a whole lot of evidence against Stuart. I wonder if the enemies of liberty are just trying to drag Stuart into this, is what I would wonder. We also talked about Utah launches. This is at hour number two now, I guess. Utah launches three-year, multi-million-dollar suicide prevention campaign. Paul Nelson writes it. They say reasons to hope. Suicide is Utah's most, quote, preventable tragedy. I agree on one hand that it's preventable. But what I find interesting is they want to put government money into this all the time. But they never want to talk about God and family. I believe that turning to God Almighty and turning to family, those who God put on the earth as your fundamental unit of society, God put families together. He decides who's born to whom, right? And so I appreciate it, but we can't have government take the lead with millions of dollars. We're not going to get anywhere. It's kind of like the war on drugs. It seems like the more you spend money and time and effort stopping the war on drugs, or stopping drugs, the more the drugs proliferate. It's almost like that. You got to go back to God and the families. What we need is the Black Regiment preachers preaching morality, preaching that we're the children of Almighty God and He loves us. And you can have a relationship with your Heavenly Father. Okay, we need to teach those principles, and we're not. We're just kind of dependent on government to solve the problem. So I appreciate the focus on this because it's a serious issue. But I think that we need to go about it a little differently. Government should play a supporting role, not the lead role. Anyway, there you have that. Just my two cents on the solutions there. Second hour yesterday was, in my opinion, one of the best interviews I've ever done. I think it was really good. Our guest was Rick Green. And Rick Green is the founder of PatriotAcademy.com, which is an organization that has literally hundreds of thousands of coaches and leaders helping facilitate constitutional founding father-esque free training. And Rick Green, David Barton, and others are the educators on video, and the coaches are facilitators to help make that happen in your living room, in your church, with your family, with your loved ones, kitchen militia around the table, etc. Arming ourselves with knowledge and understanding about the principles that made America great. Just incredible offerings at patriotacademy.com. Anyway, but Rick Green and I talked in detail of the headline or notes that I have about it. It says, Sam and Rick break down the Let's Go Brandon movement. And we both agree that, you know what, the American people are absolutely frustrated. And the Let's Go Brandon phrase is way better than the F Joe Biden phrase. So in that sense, we understand it. We documented the long history of the frustration in America and how we go about it, dumping the tea in the harbor and all the way through. But we're not the civil disobedient ones, ladies and gentlemen. Remember, government derives its power from the consent of the governed, which is us. And the disobedient ones are those who are violating the laws and taking unwarranted, without consent, power unto themselves. That would be Joe Biden and crew. Joe's mandating a vaccine as if he has the right to create law, for instance. We go on and on. Nevertheless, we talked about this rich history of frustration and winning over and doing something to rein in government. The checks and balances should be front and center. We documented that, but then we also talked about how important it is to be humble and to turn to God about it. And we documented this book called Tender Warrior, Every Man's Purpose, Every Woman's Dream, written by Stu Weber. More details in seconds on your radio.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. So we're covering yesterday's broadcast, talking about my interview with Rick Green. I submit one of the best interviews I've ever done. So we talked about the understanding of Let's Go Brandon and the frustration, and that's justified and legitimate. And there's a rich history in America about it. But we don't need to lose the moral high ground as we go forward. So we talked about the need to be a God-fearing people and to hold the moral high ground and the necessity of understanding that, you know what, we'll do what needs to be done to defend liberty by all means. We're not going to just be so polite we can't stand up for our God-given inalienable rights. We will, but it's how we go about it. Just take a warrior as a great example. Do you relish war? Do you love war? Are you braggadocious about war? If so, you got the wrong spirit about you. We're telling you that right now. If, on the other hand, you say, you know what, I don't want to go to war. I'd rather be with my wife and my children. I'd rather be about making a peaceful living to support my family. But if I must defend my wife and children, if I must defend my God-given inalienable rights, then I will. And, buddy, I'll be Rambo, warrior, get it done, man. I'll be the hero. But I don't want to. See, it's all in the attitude. Do you love war or do you hate war? Right? Well, anyway, there's an incredible book called Tender Warrior, Every Man's Purpose, Every Woman's Dream. It's written by Stu Weber. It's an incredible book. And Rick Green brought it up. And I asked the question at the end of the show, are you a tender warrior? And that can relate to men and women. You know, you hear Mama Bear's taking care of her children. No doubt about it. I'm not saying that women don't have a role to play here either. I'm just saying this is what we need in America, though. We need tender warriors. They're tender in that they're close to God. They're tender in that their emotions are, you know, they're soft when needs be. But they're a warrior, ladies and gentlemen, when needs be, too. Don't forget that reality check. Right? And usually it's the religious guy in a military unit that has this tender warrior mentality. All the other guys are running around braggadocious. I'm going to, you know, kill the enemy. I'm going to do this and that. And the other guys are going, whatever. I don't want any part of this. I don't want to be here. And then everybody else is like, you're a wimp. And then, you know what, in the end of the day, the guy you want to be in the foxhole with is the guy that's that tender warrior, that guy that doesn't want to be there because he knows what's at stake. He's not braggadocious. He's not irrespecting of life. He's completely pro-life and understands his role before God Almighty. But, buddy, if he has to do what he has to do, he'll do it. He'll do it well. See, we want to be that kind of people. Anyway, I submit to you that it was a great discussion with Rick Green. Well done. Rick did just a phenomenal job on your radio. All right, that's a recap of the broadcast that took place just yesterday. It's still available, ladies and gentlemen, libertyroundtable.com, lovingliberty.net. Spread the word. It's free, on-demand radio at your fingertips. We also have live broadcasts as well. And if you go to lovingliberty.net, you can download the iPhone or the Android app. They're both free. And on that app, not only can you listen to archives of the shows, but live as well. You can follow our Twitter feed. You can donate. You can make comments. In other words, give us feedback and a whole lot more. Would love you to get our phone apps. They're available now at lovingliberty.net. We've also added a bunch more podcasts to our podcast page on lovingliberty.net. Please spread the word about that because, man, we're gaining on it. We're getting more and more and more valuable content just for you, my fellow Americans, just for you. All right, you know how I brought up a tender warrior? Man's purpose, every woman's dream. It's man's purpose to be about being a tender warrior, defending his family. You know what? A bulldog out in the world, but tender at home, kind of an idea. Tender with those who deserve it, but hardcore with those who demand it or require it, right? Every man's purpose. That's who we are as men. A real man's man, right? But it's every woman's dream to have a man like that, right? Every real woman's dream, anyway. I'll tell you that right now. All right, now, I bring that up because the story today is kind of shocking. Here's the headline. Nancy Pelosi demands gender equity in attack on global warming. I kid you, this is hard to understand. Pelosi demands gender equity in attack on global warming. Insists that gender be the central component of climate action. Bob Unruh, WND.com, with the article. This is just insane. What the heck does gender equity have to do with the climate, you may ask? Well, you just got to dig into the brain of Nancy to figure it out, right? Pelosi's, quote, unusual demand came in a statement that she issued as she appeared at the United Nations Climate Change Conference in Glasgow, Scotland. It's an event, by the way, that drew the wealthy traveling in their hundreds of private jets and staying in gas-guzzling cruise ships anchored nearby. Yeah, these guys all want to talk about the environment as they just guzzle their gas. I'm not a fan of Greta Thunberg, but at least she supposedly doesn't travel that way, right? But nevertheless, she says this is Nancy, our delegation proudly and clearly stated its commitment to making gender equity a central component of climate action. What the heck? Yeah, they say a key focus of our meetings is the centrality of women to the climate crisis. Man, what? They say it's a crisis and it's a threat multiplier that amplifies existing inequities, particularly for women. So you know that women are the, what do you want to call it? Abused sex, the slave sex. You know, you got everything from, hey, a woman should be in the bedroom or in the kitchen, mockeries of, okay, all the way down to they don't make as much money, there's a glass ceiling, they're not treated fair, they're not listened to in board meetings, all the way down, it's a, wow. But Nancy Pelosi wants to make sure that you know that climate change affects women the most. Did you know that? Well, you know now, right? I kid you not. She wants to make sure you know that climate change affects women the most. Did you know that? If you didn't, it's time you know. Yeah. The United Nations, in fact, agrees with her and has claimed that women are more vulnerable to climate change. Why? Because of social, economic, and cultural factors. So the UN agrees with Nancy. You realize this, right? It's hard to think through this, really, for people like me. But they say 70% of the 1.3 billion people living conditions of poverty are women, the UN said. In the report, women represent a high percent of poor communities that are highly dependent on local natural resources for their livelihood, particularly in rural areas. They're the ones primarily responsible in the home for water supply and energy for cooking and heating. And it is a serious, serious problem. They say, can climate change be addressed with gender equity? Question mark. What do you say, Cameron? Can climate change be addressed with gender equity? Very serious question for all of us to answer because Nancy's on it. And sadly, that's kind of the, I don't know what you want to call it, the delegation we've sent. Now, whacked out Gavin Newsom, governor of California, was going to attend, but he got the cocoa booster shot and got so sick from it, couldn't attend, you know? But don't worry, Nancy was there. And Nancy doubled down on demanding that gender equity is the central component. Assist the sex-based agenda be the central component of climate action. What the heck does gender equity have to do with the climate? Well, the UN and Nancy both will tell you. Yeah. The United Nations has claimed that women are the ones suffering the most. Can climate change be addressed with gender equity is the question? Wow. Gender equity is kind of the big buzzword now, right? Now, look at this. If I go and I type gender equity into Google, just those two words, gender equity. I'm going to tell you what comes up, okay? Because this is kind of shocking in and of itself, if that makes sense. All right, you're listening to the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Medicare premiums are going up. The federal government releasing a statement last night announcing that Medicare Part B premiums are going to rise over 14% starting next year, meaning monthly costs will rise from about $148 a month to about $170 for those in the lowest income brackets. Longtime Trump advisor Steve Bannon is being indicted for criminal contempt of Congress, and he's now expected to surrender to authorities on Monday. And a busy day for the president on Monday, as he'll sign the infrastructure bill at a big ceremony at the White House in the afternoon. And then in the evening, he has a virtual meeting scheduled with the Chinese President Xi Jinping. The U.S. men's soccer team celebrating a defeat of Mexico 2-0 in a World Cup qualifying game in Cincinnati. And this is USA Radio News.
Just in time for Christmas, Mike Lindell has dropped the price of the standard classic MyPillow, regularly $69.98 to $19.98. Now, queen and king size slightly higher, but that price includes a free press and pack bag so you can take your MyPillow with you anywhere. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, use my promo code USA, or call 1-800-951-8175. Support Mike Lindell and American Jobs, and give MyPillow for Christmas.
Maybe this is you too. A lot of people do not like their health plan right now, but great news, you're not stuck with it. There's another choice called MediShare, and it's a great option if you're self-employed or changing jobs or part of the gig economy. The typical family saves $500 a month with MediShare, and the customer satisfaction rate is double that of typical health insurance. Find out more, including how much you'll save. Just call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE.
More now on the infrastructure bill that the president will be signing with great pomp and circumstance on Monday at the White House. White House spokeswoman Jen Psaki says at that event he will also announce who he's chosen to be the infrastructure coordinator, someone that she says will oversee the implementation of the $1.2 trillion measure and make sure the funds are spent properly and that there is accountability.
And expect it will be someone from outside of the administration.
It will be a busy Monday for President Biden, as after that event in the afternoon, he is expected to be having a phone meeting with Chinese President Xi Jinping. It will be the first formal bilateral meeting between the two leaders. White House Press Secretary Psaki saying that Xi and Biden will, in her words, discuss ways to responsibly manage their competition. Britney Spears is thanking her fans as she celebrates the end of her conservatorship, and this is USA Radio News.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Hard-hitting talk at your fingertips. So yeah, Nancy Pelosi wants you to know that gender equity needs to be at the center. Ladies and gentlemen, the center of the climate change debate and discussion. And Nancy Pelosi wants you to know that climate change affects women the most. Can climate change be addressed with gender equity? So you say, what the heck is this gender equity term, huh? What the crap is going on with this term? What the heck? These new words are interesting because they have gender equity in quotes, don't you know? So you got to understand, whenever you see these words in quotes, that it has a special meaning. And it may not be a meaning that you're thinking of, because of course you would say, if you're in your right mind, you would say, well, of course we want equity. We want equity everywhere, right? Well, not so fast, because it all depends on how you define it, right? So you got to say, what is gender equity? You got to say gender equity versus gender equality. That's a fair, necessary discussion, right? Gender equity, they say, means fairness of treatment for women and men according to their respective needs. Now you're starting to learn a little bit, right? So men and women shouldn't be treated equally. They need to be treated equitably. Equitably means according to their needs, they should be treated differently. All right? You might have different treatment, but equivalent treatment. In terms of, quote, rights, benefits, obligations, and opportunities. Yeah, this might be different in the classroom. Let me give you an example. Naturally, you think computers, that's a man's job. Men like computers, chicks don't, you know? But they say that just fosters these wrong-headed stereotypes, these wrong-headed, you know, views of the difference of gender roles. They say that gender equality and equity is a moral imperative. But here's the problem that I have with all that. Who would be in charge there, right? All right. Gender equity means fairness of treatment for men and women according to their respective needs. That might mean equal treatment and or different treatment, but which is considered equivalent. Now, the problem is the United Nations defines gender equity versus equality. So equality says, hey, if we're in the workplace and your job is to move lumber from one location to another, like taking lumber from the lumber yard and putting it on trucks to be shipped out, you know, equality would say, hey, a man and a woman who have the same job would need to do the same thing. And their output would depend on their pay, right? Not so fast with gender equity. Gender equity would say the women and men here both need jobs. Their jobs are the same by nature. But the women might be able to coordinate the shipments where the men might need to fulfill the shipments. You see? They say all voices matter when it comes to equity for all, except for my voice, right? My conservative viewpoint, right? Now, the problem is the United Nations and governments are deciding what this, quote, gender equity term means and how it would be carried out. For example, the gender, quote, pay gap. Now, this equality versus equity discussion is an important one to understand because you got to learn what the definitions of governments are. They say the conversation surrounding gender equality is ongoing and important, but there's something missing. We're beyond equality now, don't you know? We're enlightened, right? In Hollywood, the news, in classrooms and boardrooms, they say there are important historic conversations that are taking place, and it all surrounds gender equality. Now, that's been a time-battled discussion for generations. But there is now, they say, a important distinction that needs to be understood. Gender equality and gender equity are similar terms, but have different meanings. The words sound similar, but the definitions and the practical usage are different. All right? What equality has to do with the fairness of treatment for both men and women. They say equality is the goal. Equity is the means to get there. Listen to this. Here's what they say. Gender equality, equality between men and women, does not mean that men and women have to become the same. But their rights, responsibilities, and opportunities will not depend on whether they were born male or female. Gender equity means fairness of treatment between men and women according to their respective needs. See, it might be equal treatment, and it might be treatment that was just different, but considered equivalent. They say the word equity also has deep financial implications. So, for example, in the world of business, a broad definition of equity is the financial value of an asset after subtracting the value of the liabilities. That's the real, quote, equitable net worth, so to speak. All right? So you're trying to bring women up to the standard of men when it comes to pay. There you have it. What's the difference? They're trying to bring clarity and purpose to this conversation. The distinction between gender equity and gender equality is lost on most, they say. We got to bring clarity and purpose. to the discussion. All right? So you got to ask yourself, do you understand the difference now? Have I explained it well enough to you? They say the understanding of the difference between gender equality and gender equity is the small step that it takes to understand opportunity. The optimistic future, they say, shedding light on these differences, bringing men into the conversation and opening up space for intelligent dialogue will bring us closer to the objective of closing the gap, the gender equity gap in our lifetime. Yeah. You know what all that means now? Are you clear as mud, ladies and gentlemen? Let me explain it to you a little bit this way. Think about it in terms of race. Forget men and women for a second. Forget male and female for a second. On one hand, they want to tell you that they got to have gender equity, and they document that they were born male and female, so they admit God's reality on this. On the other hand, what they want to do is wipe gender off the face of the earth and pretend it's this fluid, nebulous, it doesn't matter, just whatever you identify with today is all that counts idea. So they're confusing as all get out. But when it comes to gender equity and gender equality, they do document male and female, which is at least a kudos to them to some degree. But here's what I would say. Go back to race, because that's where they pioneered this, what am I going to call it, poppycock? Baloney? You say, what do you mean, Sam? Don't you care about people? Don't you want equity and equality? Of course I do. But it's all about how you define the terms, okay? It's all about how you reward one group and how you, harm the other group while rewarding one, right? Whenever you reward one group, you harm another group in the process. That's the problem. See, this is all based on the Hegelian dialectic of division. What you do is you divide everybody, and then as everybody fights and squabbles and melts down over whatever, then the government's the only savior. And the result is always more government in the Hegelian dialectic communist agenda, and that's what they're trying to do to us here. On one hand, they want to obliterate gender and pretend it doesn't exist and just lie before God Almighty. In my opinion, a horrific sin. Because we know the truth is that God, male and female, created he them. Let's not lose sight of God's in charge here, not us, okay? So that's the first issue. They want to obliterate male and female. But you know what? In their equity ideas, they want to document the difference of men and women. So I don't know why Nancy can run around and talk about how women are harmed more than men and women should be in this gender discussion to be at the center of the climate change debate when all of her colleagues are trying to jettison gender entirely is a baffling context, to say the least. But let's drill down for a minute on this gender equity versus equality for a second. Equality says that men and women should be treated equally. Okay, at a job, if you roll into the job and the job requirements are this, then men and women should perform equally. All right, you're going into the military. Just listen to me. And the requirement is to do 50 push-ups. Then, of course, equality would say a man needs to do 50 push-ups and a woman needs to do 50 push-ups. Got it? Good, because that's equality. And if you can't do 50 push-ups, you're washed out of the deal. But equality is one thing. Equity is another, you see. And we're going to reward the differences in gender, even though we pretend there are no differences as we try to wipe gender away. But we're going to, in the term of equity, we're going to acknowledge and reward those differences, and I'll tell you how in a second. You're listening to the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live radio talk show.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody ever having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? in churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
All right, live and on your radio, ladies and gentlemen. So I'm talking about this article documenting Pelosi, quote, demands gender equity in attack on global warming. She's saying, hey, man, sex, gender needs to be at the front and center of this debate. And I'm asking, what the heck does gender equity have to do with the climate? The answer from Nancy and the United Nations is everything. Nancy Pelosi wants to make sure you know that climate change affects women the most. So the question is, what the heck is gender equity? Gender equity versus gender equality. So let's use my example, ladies and gentlemen. These words are similar but subtly different. And it all comes down to the definition of whom you're conversing with about these words to understand it. You can't use your own definition because, of course, I want equity. Of course, I want equality. But that's just my term, saying I want to treat people fairly and good and honest and right. But they have a different view of this than you do. And you got to go back to race to understand this. All right, so we'll talk about race in just a second. But the critical race theory is where they created this Hegelian dialectic division amongst us. But if you're in the military and a man's there and you got to do 50 push-ups, and if you can't, you're not in the military, you're out. If a man does 50 push-ups, good, he's in. If a woman does 50 push-ups and she fails, then what we really say is, you know what? Equality doesn't really apply here. We know that male and female bodies are different, and therefore we got to account for that. So now here's where gender equity rides to the savior of women. Because you know what? Equality should be washed out. 50-50, forget it. You can't. But we're going to say that men do 50 push-ups, women do 30 push-ups. Why is that justified? Because women's bodies are different, and according to their body type and according to their capabilities, there's a different standard. And that's, quote, equitable. And remember, equity is the tool to get to equality. So that equity tool then changes the game for women and men, adjusts for their differences, and says, hey, the man did 50 push-ups and he got into the military. A woman does 30 push-ups and she gets in. That's equitable and fair and adjusted to the reality of the situation. And eventually it creates equality. I know you're going to say, Sam, that just exposed the biggest lie I've ever heard. You're exactly right. It does expose the biggest lie you've ever heard, because it is one of the biggest lies you've ever heard. That, number one, there is no gender differences at all. On one hand, erase gender. You can be whatever you want today. You can wake up tomorrow and go, I feel like a woman. Not, right? Okay? We know God's law on this. Don't be playing games with me. But yet they want that on one hand. On the other hand, what they want to do is they want this equality term to be backed up by this equity term. And equity means we can adjust for the differences. So go back to race now. They did this with race. They said, you know what? You used to have a 4.0 grade point average to get into college, man. But the problem is not that many blacks had that kind of a score. And so what you did is you say, listen, we're going to create this special situation where we're going to give blacks the ability to get in if they have a 3.4 average, not a 4.0 average. And we're going to have a quota. We're going to have a where, you know what, we need a certain number of blacks to be in the colleges because it's only fair. So now you're talking about this equity term again, where you're saying, look, you got to adjust for whatever differences we're going to highlight. You got to adjust and give one group favoritism over the other group. Right? So now blacks have a different ratio or situation than whites do to get into college. And a lot of whites missed out as blacks got put into college above the white person. Academics was only part of the picture. The underclass or the downtrodden black person was given special privilege. Right? What is that special privilege called? Well, they would say it's equity. Right? Don't you know that it's equitable? Right? What about race-based equity? Right? What about reverse discrimination? Right? What about special privilege for some at the expense of the rest? Right? They literally are saying now we're incentivizing equity. Right? Taking equity-minded action to close equity gaps. Equity over equality. Equity is the means to gain supposed equality. Diversity for all. What is racial equity? Equity, they say, racial equity is about applying justice and a little bit of common sense to a system that has been out of balance. The goal of equity is to bring back balance. People of color feel the impacts most acutely. Yeah. There you have it. So we've had these in our government schools for quite some time in the race reality. Now they're bringing this divide and conquer tactic to women and men. And now they're going to use climate change as the great equity compliance mechanism. And what they're going to say is women get more money at the government trough than men. You're going to basically kick men out of the women's lives because women can turn to the government and no sex as the ultimate feminist. And they don't need men around at all. And what they'll do is they'll gender equity this thing right down the line. They'll use it in race and they'll use it between male and female relations to literally tilt the landscape in the favor of those who are in charge. And right now, the man that's white that believes he's a man, let me say that again, the man that is white that believes he's a man and wants to be married to a woman and wants to make children with her, that is the worst kind of, well, that guy's been at the top of the equity pole forever, and it's now time that he goes to the bottom of the barrel. Anything they want, a gender-fluid somebody who is attracted to the same sex, I don't know what that means if you're gender-fluid, but just follow me, because it's very confusing, is at the top of the pole, especially if they have racial components, too. So now you got a black, transgender, well, okay, this is the top of the poll for these people because what they want to do is they want to use this equity term to create special privilege. In other words, to pull the lever of government in the favor of the few at the expense of the many to so-called create eventual equality, which they will never achieve because the second they really achieved equality, their gig would be over. It's kind of like all the cancer research organizations telling you after they receive billions of dollars every year, we're going to solve cancer someday. Yeah, and once you do, are you just going to turn off the spigot of money then and just close your organization? Or are we always on the quest to cure cancer, but we never, ever, ever can get there? It's that kind of a deal. They're never going to have equity, and they're never going to have equality because equity is on the way to equality, and equality is a never achievable goal, and therefore we can never get there. And even if we all honestly get there, what we'll do is we'll just move the goalposts of what equity means. See, back in the day, it was we want women to be able to shatter the glass ceiling. But what if a woman just gender fluidly becomes a man? Hasn't she then overcome the glass ceiling because now she's a man, see? Well, no, because you got to understand that there's differences between male and female. And we got to have gender equity to make up for it. We got to let the women do less of a job but get paid the same because that's only fair. After all, they've been abused for centuries, and we got to do payback is about time, right? But then we say, well, there's no real difference between a male and a female. All you got to do is wake up and put on a skirt, and you're a chick. All you got to do is wake up and cut your hair and take some hormones, and you're a dude, right? So all women got to do if they want to get rid of the gender equity gap, when it comes to pay and shatter the glass ceiling if she just has to wake up tomorrow, take a bunch of man-made hormones, mimicking God, and just turn a chick into a guy. She walks in and says, I'm a dude, pay me more. And by golly, if you don't do that in society, then you're an evil, racist, hater, misogynistic, horrible person, and your business should be shut down for the sake of the good of us all. Right? This is the kind of baloney we're talking about. In my world, men are men and women are women. Male and female created God them. And whatever your gender is when you're born is the gender you'll be forever until you die and into the eternities. Gender is not a characteristic of mortality. Gender is a characteristic ordained of God. Let's not forget that reality, okay? And male and females are not at war, as they want you to believe. We don't need this equity and equality stuff to divide the sexes and to make the sexes continually be at war. God ordained male and female to marry and to become one. And as they're one, their different characteristics and their different gender roles come together to create more than they could be alone. That is the fundamental unit of society, the family, led by a man and a woman ordained of God Almighty, people. And if you believe different and you believe in this poppycock baloney, all right, I think that we need to take care of the planet God gave us. He gave us the earth and said, look, in the Bible, he says, you know what, take care of this earth. I give it to you and you know, it's your stewardship. Be responsible for it and tend to it and do good by it. I think we ought to have caring for the earth viewpoints. But when you cross the Rubicon from God-ordained caring for the earth and a male and female doing it together, as they come together as one, God put them together never to be separated again, and as one then, male and female, they create children. That's the fundamental unit of society, God's plan through the family to carry out his purposes. And everything they're doing with this equity and this equality and this climate change is to shoot us in the foot and destroy the family. To destroy God's law, to destroy male and female. And they're using equity and gender equality to do this. All right? I get that we have problems with the climate because I realize when we disobey God, he oftentimes uses the climate to punish us and stir us up in remembrance of our God so we'll turn to him again. So there's no doubt that the more we disobey God's laws, climate's going to get rowdy. But it isn't for the reasons government wants you to believe. It wants you to believe that just because you're here on the earth that it's a problem. And if you're a white male, then it's a big problem. Now, if you just transgender yourself into a woman, put on a skirt and say, I feel like a woman, then you're more harmed by the climate than you were the day before when you were a man. See? See how mixed up and confusing and dishonest this really is? The truth is that male and female should work together to better the planet, to be kind to one another, to not think of the two sexes at war, but to think of a, they should come together as one great whole as God ordained. And understand we should take care of the earth, but we should not fall for these deceptive claims by government and by those who would destroy our society to pit one against the other. These equality and these equity words sound so solutionary, right? Like we're solving a problem, but the truth is they're meant to divide. And they're meant to create really inequities and deny equality in the long run. Why? Because on that division does government and does evil tyrannical folks gain power over us. Don't fall for the lie. Don't let it happen, ladies and gentlemen. Understand that God loves male and female. And he married the first man and woman never to be separated again to create the fundamental unit of society, the family. And everything they're doing is attacking God and family and country. And we stand against it. We stand for solutions. We stand for morality. We testify that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and our Savior. And if we obey his laws and follow the Prince of Peace, and we recognize God's designation of male and female, and we recognize his grand purposes and support them, we shall be blessed. If we don't, we'll lose those blessings. Write it down. Remember, you heard it here first. God save the Republic.